The White House's unruly neighborhood. Crime, scandal, and intrigue in the history of Lafayette Square. Chapter 12. The Tragic Wife of America's Premier Thinker. The Hay Adams Hotel is named for two prominent men from the Washington of the late 1800s, John Hay and Henry Adams. They lived across the street from Lafayette Square in side-by-side mansions. Distinguished citizens. John Milton Hay was one of the most noted public servants in American history. He started out humbly, yet notably, as the campaign gopher for Abe Lincoln during the Lincoln-Douglas debates of 1858. Lincoln was running that year for the U.S. Senate from Illinois against incumbent Stephen Douglas. Lincoln would speak for many hours before large crowds, yet even a peerless orator like Honest Abe ran out of things to say. The young John Hay would supply him with newspaper articles and speeches, famous quotations, that Lincoln would slip into his own rhetoric. When Lincoln was elected president, Hay became, along with John Nicolay, one of his private secretaries. He kept that position throughout Lincoln's presidency. Hay spent a very long time in and out of the federal government. He eventually became Secretary of State for President William McKinley during that little matter of the Spanish-American War in 1898. The U.S. gained much territory, from Puerto Rico to the Philippines, with relatively few casualties. Hay thus famously dubbed the conflict a splendid little war. When McKinley was assassinated in 1901, the new president, Teddy Roosevelt, insisted John Hay remain at the State Department. From his office at the War, Navy, and State Department building across from Lafayette Square, he devised treaties that led to Roosevelt's building of the Panama Canal. In between government jobs, he worked as a journalist. It was Hay who first deemed Mrs. O'Leary's cow as a cause of the Great Chicago Fire. Hay's next-door neighbor, Henry Brooks Adams, was the scion of perhaps America's greatest political family. Henry Adams was the great-grandson of the first family to live at the White House, John and Abigail Adams, and thus the grandson of President John Quincy Adams, John and Abigail's erudite son. Henry Adams himself was the son of Charles Francis Adams, the chief Union diplomat to England during the Civil War. In time, Henry Adams became a noted historian. He won the Pulitzer Prize for his book, The Education of Henry Adams. It traced the transformation of America during his long lifetime from a mostly rural country to a mostly urban, industrialized land. For years, a Harvard professor, teaching about the Middle Ages, he penned an exquisite travelogue through medieval civilization, Mount Saint Michel and Chartres. Talented yet troubled. Indeed, Henry Adams had exquisite tastes, including taste in women. He married Marion Hooper Clover Adams. She was the daughter of a noted idealistic Boston surgeon, a man who refused payment for most of his operations. Her mother, Ellen Sturgis Hooper, was a poet of the Transcendental School, think Thoreau's Walden, and an acquaintance of such writers as Nathaniel Hawthorne, The Scarlet Letter, and Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. In the Civil War, Clover worked for Frederick Law Olmsted and his sanitary commission, charged with supplying the vast Union Army with fresh food and adequate medical supplies. Olmsted was the fellow who designed Central Park in Manhattan. Further, Clover became one of the first female photographers. In her dark room off of Lafayette Square, she became expert at using chemicals for bringing her sharply observed images to life. But she was also greatly troubled. A suicide gene literally ran in her family. Her mother's sister took her own life while she was pregnant. Clover's own sister would kill herself by throwing herself in front of a train. And her brother tried to kill himself by jumping out of a window, to die soon thereafter. When Henry's brother Charles learned he was marrying Clover Hooper, he exclaimed, "Heavens no! They're all crazy as coots! She'll kill herself, just like her aunt." But Henry told another of his brothers, "I know better than anyone the risks I'm running. but I have weighed them carefully, and I accept them. Henry Adams met Clover Hooper in Britain when he was personal secretary to his ambassador father. They lived for years in Boston's Back Bay among the Boston Brahmins, who dominated the city's cultural scene. They moved to Washington in 1877 and rented from the wealthy William Corcoran the former John Slidell House at 15th and 8th Street. The irony of their residence was obvious to Henry Adams. John Slidell had been one of the two Confederate diplomats sent to Europe to enlist the help of France and Britain for the Confederacy. The other envoy was James Mason, the grandson of founding father George Mason. Henry Adams had worked with his ambassador father to block their intentions. And on the east end of Lafayette Square, in the old Cutts Madison or Dolly Madison house, had lived Charles Wilkes, a commodore for the Union Navy. His 1861 capture of Slidell and Mason from a British ship in the Caribbean had nearly brought on war between Britain and the Union, a war which might have won the war for the Confederacy. All this was proof that back in the day in D.C., everyone who was anyone knew everyone and often lived cheek to jowl. In 1880, Henry and Clover moved into larger quarters at another William Corcoran house at 1607 H Street, across the road from the square's northern end. Henry and Clover turned the place into the capital's intellectual center. They formed close friendships with John Hay and his wife, Clara Louise Stone Hay. The fifth member of their Five of Hearts, as they wryly dubbed their pseudo-secret society, was Clarence King. Clarence King was then a world-famous geologist and explorer of the American West. It was rumored that any of the five might have written the best-selling book, Democracy, an American Novel. It was a critical look at the capital city's corruption in the Gilded Age of all-powerful business moguls. It was a template for many Washington novels to come. Democracy was published without an author and was later attributed to Henry Adams. The circle of friends hosted the cream of Washington society. Guests included future Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. and novelist and psychologist Henry James. Henry James had a novel, Daisy Miller, which may have been based on Clover Adams herself. The Hays and the Adams could afford to entertain. Clara Hay was the daughter of a banking and railroad magnate, and both of the Adams had inherited a lot of money. Clover Adams decorated their home with Japanese sculptures and masterworks of European painting. The two couples underwrote Clarence King's scientific expeditions. They made plans to expand their salon into lavish quarters. Henry Adams hired his fellow Harvard alumnus, Henry Hobson Richardson, to design facing mansions for himself and Hay, right at the corner of 16th and H Street. At that time, America's ranking architect, Richardson had designed Trinity Church in Boston's Copley Square and Albany, New York's imposing City Hall. He put together plans for thick-walled, kitty-corner homes made from his signature material, brown sandstone, in a wonderful Romanesque style that appealed to the medieval scholar in Henry Adams. The two couples aimed to move into their new abodes in 1886. But in April 1885, after years of seeming happiness with Henry, Clover Adams fell into a deep depression. After her beloved father physician, Dr. Robert Hooper, had passed away. Her melancholy may have been worsened by the fact that at age 41, she and Henry had no children, even as their friends the Hays had four children. Clover told a relative, "If any woman ever says to you that she doesn't want children, it isn't true. All women want children." On Sunday, December 6th of that year, Henry left their home to visit a dentist. While leaving, he ran into a woman coming over to meet Clover, and he took her back to the house. Inside, by the fireplace, Henry found his wife sprawled upon the floor. She had swallowed potassium cyanide, one of the chemicals from her photographic lab, a fatal poison. A doctor rushed over. He confirmed the worst. Now it was Henry Adams' turn to be depressed. To a friend of his deceased wife, he wrote, "I have not had the good luck to attend my own funeral, but with that exception, I have buried pretty nearly everything I live for." John Hay wrote this testimonial of Clover. "Is it any consolation to remember her as she was, that bright, intrepid spirit, that keen, fine intellect, that lofty scorn for all that was mean, that social charm which made your house such a one as Washington never knew before, and made hundreds of people love her as much as they admired her?" A devastated Henry Adams went on a faraway trip to Asia to forget. He spent a great deal of time in Japan and studied Buddhism, believing it might provide some solace. It didn't. Tragedy's tribute. Returning to America, Henry Adams decided to honor his departed wife with a funeral sculpture. He approached America's preeminent sculptor, Augustus Sangadon. You may know his work from the movie Glory, the Denzel Washington and Morgan Freeman film about the Massachusetts 54th, the African-American regiment that fought in the Civil War. The movie shows a striking sculpture of Godin's that depicts the black soldiers on the march with their white officer, played by Matthew Broderick in the film. For Clover Adams, the sculptor Godin created a remarkable bronze figure of a shrouded person in seated repose. To frame the sculpture with a granite setting, Adams approached architect Stanford White, creator of the Washington Square Arch in New York's Greenwich Village. Stanford White would meet his own tragedy in 1906 when, after an affair with a married theater star, Evelyn Nesbit, he was shot to death by the husband of Nesbit. Henry Adams claimed the Godin statue was not supposed to convey deep emotion or sadness, but was only meant to suggest contemplation. But the people of Washington knew better. They gave the work a nickname that has stuck. Art history books use it. The name of the statue is Grief. In 1927, the Hay Adams Mansion was torn down by real estate mogul Henry Wardman and replaced by today's Hay Adams Hotel. It's said that the ghost of Clover Adams inhabits the place. She is supposedly a pleasant, not angry spirit, if a rather sad one, as she was in real life. From The White House's Unruly Neighborhood, Crime, Scandal, and Intrigue in the History of Lafayette Square. Copyright 2021 by Edward P. Moser and McFarland Publishing. Available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon Books, and booksellers everywhere.